Welcome back to another episode of Proud to Be. My name's Steve Ween. I'm founder of International Content Studio Distillery. And we're talking to leaders who have created work and brand cultures that support the idea that it's good to be different and welcome diversity in the workforce. Today, I'm excited to talk to Pete Markey. He's the Chief Marketing Officer for Boots, where he's responsible for brand and marketing for the UK. Pete has held senior leadership roles at organisations such as TSB, Aviva, and the Post Office. He is an experienced director, having worked across a range of disciplines, including marketing, sales, customer experience, operations, and strategy. He's been awarded 4 prestigious Marketeer of the Year awards and is a fellow of the Marketing Society and the Chartered Institute of Marketing. In 2019, Pete was awarded the Diversity Ally Award at the European Diversity Awards for his work as executive sponsor for the TSB LGBTQ+ network. Pete is a mentor for the Marketing Academy, Outstanding, and Solent University. Pete, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you here. Could you tell us a little bit more about your role as CMO for Boots UK?
Very happy to. I've been enrolled just under a year now. Boots is this amazing business, 170 years old, couple of thousand stores across the UK, growing online presence. And we do so many different things from health to beauty to wellness, opticians, hearing care. It is really an amazing business to work for. And as CMO for Boots, what I get to do is look after all the marketing day to day. So all the advertising you'll see, including our most recent work at Christmas, our summer campaign, through to the Advantage card, our loyalty program, all our day to day activity you'll see on our social media platforms that are growing and now include TikTok and others, yeah, that's all driven out of my team. So it's a really exciting role. I get to work on this amazing brand that people know and love, that we're looking to make more and more relevant than ever. And I get to take out these really exciting messages about what Boots is there to do and the impact we want to make. You know, and probably the final bit to mention on that, Boots is this amazing history. I mean, it's founded on the principles of democratizing healthcare, making healthcare affordable and available to everyone. And it's great to work in a business, therefore, that's really purpose-driven, that wants to make a difference in society, that wants the world to be a better place and wants to have a positive impact on that. And that is a great platform to work with as a marketeer.
And perhaps, especially over the last 18 months to 2 years with COVID, perhaps even more relevant to people's lives?
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, it's actually, you know, it's been a really uncertain time for all this, hasn't it? Where do you turn to for health advice and support through really difficult moments? And we've definitely been on the front line helping with providing advice and support and then getting involved with testing and the vaccination program. We've also really doubled down our work with 3 major charities as well. We work with the Hygiene Bank, who help tackle hygiene poverty, which next to food poverty is an enormous theme. People, many households being unable to afford shower gel and basic hygiene products. We've been supporting them. We'll continue to do so. Macmillan as well. There's a growing concerns over whether people have been diagnosed yet with cancer and what that could turn into and the impact of cancer on people's lives and their families. We do a lot in that area. And then supporting the Prince's Trust, which is about getting more young people back into work, has been another big theme. So yes, we've been doing more and more things that are, I think, increasingly relevant, but important and are making a difference, but are all about what I describe as life beyond COVID. How do we, as we move into the next phase of our lives, we tackle some of the really big issues, and more people are battling cancer, families in real difficulty needing support with hygiene products, and young people needing the platform for their careers are 3 big themes. And there are more in Boots. I'm picking just the 3 big. There are a lot more. But that's the level of, as you said, there's a level, I think, as a brand we need to show up in and where we need to offer the support and help and create. Talk a lot about almost creating the society that we want to create. We want to create the world that is better for people and helps people lead healthier, happier lives.
And in terms of those big themes, in our discussion today, I'd love to dive in terms of the importance of diversity and inclusion. You know, the importance of that to the brand, both internally for the teams within the company, as well as externally in your comms for your consumers. It'd be great to hear about that journey that you've been on.
So I think the really interesting for Boots is when we've got 15 million Advantage card holders, we're known well in the UK. People know us and they use our brand, they use our products. Boots is genuinely for everyone. Our view is, as a brand, we're there to help serve our customers' well-being for life at every life stage. So we want Boots to be a really welcoming brand. We want to represent the rich mix of people that live and work right up and down and through the UK. So we need to make sure that all of our work, all our products and what we do, you know, fairly represent all sorts of different communities and all sorts of different people groups. And so we've been working hard over a number of years to strengthen what we do, to make sure that where we show up, that we're basically doing it in a way that's increasingly relevant, but also is reflective of the communities we want to serve. So it's been a really important part of our brand journey. I think, like all these things, though, is you I don't think you ever quite reach the end destination, because you need to continually optimize and strengthen and improve what you do to make things better and better. And the word I use a lot with our brand is around relevance. The way you stay relevant is you stay connected and you listen and you understand people's lives. You understand the role you play in it. You understand the importance of the role you play in it. And you really actively respond to what you're listening to make sure the products, the service you provide and how you communicate it is completely in step with the needs of people in the UK today.
Just in terms of that listening piece, in terms of keeping in step, are there any specific initiatives or training or internal activities or programs that you feel have really helped instill that idea of inclusivity and acceptance within the business?
Yeah, there's quite a few. I mean, we have what we call business resource groups that are set up around the key themes around inclusion. So, for example, there's one for LGBT, one for BAME, one for gender. And that's been a really powerful way to get those groups keeping those topics front and center for us as a business, connecting into the core trading teams that run Boots day to day. But also, I think, just providing a platform for people to share their stories and share with one another what they're doing. So, for example, our BAME BRG did a lot around Black History Month and South Asian Heritage Month around sharing stories around people's different lived experiences, which I think is so powerful to hear other people's stories and then reflect on, well, what can we do together to create a better society, a better world or situation that we find ourselves in today. We do have mandatory unconscious bias, diversity, equity, inclusion, learning and training for managers to make sure that when we're hiring and when we're developing our teams that, front and center is the importance of inclusion and hiring well, because again, it's really important that Boots itself reflects the customers we serve. We've got this mentoring program in Inclusion Action. It's a partnership, so senior leaders and team members working together, and we pair up senior leaders with team members in Boots, and they can get access to mentoring, coaching, support. So it helps us, again, it's a really good listening exercise for us as senior leaders to I think, again, share our lived experiences and learn from each other. We've done a dedicated diversity, equity, inclusion training modules for our trading team. So as they're out and about working with suppliers and building future products, we've got a very clear inclusion lens behind it. So an example would be how we've improved some of our product offering. So we've got over 155 products for wavy and curly hair. We've expanded the textured hair care offering from 200 to 600 stores across the country. We've extended the number 7 product range by 60%, adding additional colors to suit a broader range of skin shades. We've also, things like putting plasters in different skin tones, all things we've done to recognize that there's something wonderful in the uniqueness of who we all are. We're not the same, and therefore our products need to reflect that as well. We've increased our marketing comm support to champion minority-owned and inclusive brands all year round. We feature those heavily on our boots.com website, doing a lot of work around ensuring we've got a strong, diverse supplier base as well. And for marketing, we're doing a lot, actually, which I can come on and talk about in a moment, around reviewing our creative, reviewing our comms, reviewing our approach. So it really is an effort that starts with a commitment right from the top of the organization, and one that flows through then into the products we offer, the services we provide, and then how we communicate it. So it's got to, in my view, connect all those things up, because this is where marketing has to have a really important influence, I think, because you can't just communicate your way through something. You can't just say, and it's really important. We should make sure our communication reflects, but everything's got to line up. Everything's got to be genuine and authentic. The lived experience of your brand and how you communicate it is genuinely real and authentic. Really, so that's what we're working hard to continually evolve and strengthen in what we do in Boots.
I think so often what we see with advertising, for example, is brands showing up during Pride season, slapping a Pride flag on their logo for the month. But when you actually dig a little bit deeper, there's no LGBTQ plus support within the business for their employees. And, you know, that's incredibly frustrating. We see that, you know, time and time again through our work with advertising. It just lacks that authenticity that you're talking about. I'd love for you to expand a little bit more about the diversity and inclusion in the actual work, what you're putting out, you know, and reflecting the community that you're serving, if you like. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that process and perhaps about some of the work that you're most proud of?
As I said, I think it's still a journey for us. But if I look at a few things we've done, we work with an agency called Creative Equals, which was an early bit of work when I first came into Boots, just to review all our creative and to go, right, so look across everything we do. Are we using the right mix of imagery? Are we using the right balance of what we say and how we say it across everything we do? And therefore, is there anything we could learn to get better and better? It's a really good review, lots of positives, but also, you know, for me, triggered us thinking around actually, you know, there's some areas we definitely needed to strengthen and improve on. And it's a really helpful process to go through to make sure that everything we do is stronger and better. So we've been acting on that and rolling out the learnings from that. Alongside that, we've been very conscious about what I call our big campaign moment. So we did a campaign in the summer, which we call Phoenix, but the end line in it was Feel Good as New. And it was Phoenix because it was us coming back after we'd all been stuck in lockdown. And we did what we call street casting for that, where we didn't use sort of real model. We just asked people, we were just interested in real people featuring. But we wanted people from a whole mix of backgrounds. So by street casting, we got in a really diverse mix of characters to be in it. But also we asked, we were really interested in their what beauty products they used. And therefore, we were able to match and give them relevant beauty products that we offered from us or our supplier base. That we sold in store and online that reflected the everyday real beauty of them. And that, I mean, that campaign has been hugely successful, both commercially, but also from a brand health perspective. And I think a lot of that's to do with how we showed up in that, which was real people, yeah, a real mix of amazing people, showing, I think, a really rich tapestry of expression I used earlier on about life in the UK today. If you watched it, you could relate to it by going, yeah, that's me or someone like me. And that, I think, set a lot of the template for what we want to do going forwards around how we involve and reflect different audiences. So you'll see us continually evolve our approach. But as I say, there's a lot more to do. We've aimed to put that front and center in Christmas as well, reflecting the mix of the casting and what we do in the ads and what we do. I think the really important bit for me, back to the authenticity, is around I think it's about narrative and storytelling as well. I think, you know, if we're going to, as we have done, I mean, Phoenix was a great example, the summer campaign, because it was all about leaving lockdown, everyone feeling amazing again. And so it was about people expressing themselves, and therefore the casting worked brilliantly. Christmas about joy and giving. And again, we've aimed to reflect in that, a real diverse mix of actors in that who I think, you know, again, really well reflect UK life today and the mix of amazing people that live in our nation. But as I say, I think there is always more to do, and that's part of the excitement of the challenge here. Is we can never rest on our laurels and go, "Oh, job done." I think it's about always evolving our approach. There's a big theme, and we're planning our next big campaign now. This is front and centre around, again, authenticity. How we show up, what we do, and how we put, I think, again, real people and real lived experiences front and centre and reflect the lives of our customers day in, day out through the UK. So, more to do. Real shifts this year, but a lot more to go after next year as well together.
Yeah, so just going back to your summer campaign, and I think, you know, that content was really awesome. But playing devil's advocate, it's, you know, that's really quite risky, isn't it? You know, you're talking about street casting, you're talking about uncovering the right characters. And while I think it's amazing, it's brave, it's what content should be, it's quite risky, isn't it?
I think it only is, great question, by the way, and I appreciate the challenge. I think it only is if you're not working with the right partners. So I think, you know, for me, I mean, we had absolute confidence in WPP in the terms of how we were going to do this and how we were going to work. I think the attraction for those taking part also was around us listening to their beauty regimes and the things that mattered. So it wasn't just we want a streetcar. It's more just want a streetcar. Actually, we're really interested in your life and the beauty product. So it was like a properly enriching experience, I hope, from what I was hearing from the people on set. So, yeah, I don't think it wasn't risky because of the strength of the partners we worked with and the director and the approach we took. It was well managed throughout. I'm with you. I think if it's a bit, if it ever ends up being a bit random, you know, and you haven't got the right people on it, there's a moment to pause and reflect and go, are we really doing the right thing here in the right way? But we were really impressed with where we got to at WPP. And I think we've got an approach that we feel confident if we were to do that again for a future campaign, which we may well do, we've got enough muscle memory behind that around how to really make it work hard for us.
And just following on from that, do you think that because Boots has really strong values that underpin the direction of the business, that helps inform the work? You know, is that, you know, the lens for WPP to work with to help find that authentic angle?
Yeah, I think you create this positive sort of circle here, I think, of if you're out there aiming to do the right thing, I do think it makes the brand attractive in a way where people want to work with you and want to help you. And I think that's only going to be a good thing. And so you're right, with WPP, we're learning how to work better and smarter together, particularly on DE&I. And that's, I hope, success, in inverted commas, breeds success, where you go, there's something good here. How do we take it to the next level and build it on and move it forwards together? And then it becomes more attractive for other people to want to work with us as well. But it is, as you say, all underpinned by the values of the business. And that's the powerful. When you know what your purpose and you know your values, you know what you stand for, you know you're about democratizing healthcare, making people's lives better through better access to health and beauty, and you are serving the nation, you kind of go, there's something here about this is just the right thing to do because it's part of who we are. So therefore, it has to be our focus and has to be about what we're about. But I do think on that success bit of work with great partners, do really great work, and it does become a bit of a magnet towards people wanting to work with you and wanting to help your brand, and then leads to, I think, really interesting partnerships as well.
And I think one of those themes is, you know, representation. How do you get away from a feeling of being tick boxy? We see it all the time when we're reviewing work for advertising. You know, great, we've got a lesbian couple, tick. Oh, we've got a gay couple, tick. We've got someone from the trans community, you know, featured in our comms, tick, tick, tick. How do you get away from that mentality? Because, you know, representation is obviously so important. You know, the usualization of different lifestyles, ethnicities, backgrounds, ages, intersex. But somehow what you've done over the summer doesn't feel checkboxy.
I think we've all seen those campaigns, haven't we? Look, I was one of the judges for the advertising awards, and there was a lot of a conversation around some of the work was around, this is a bit formulaic and a bit like, I worked in banking before Boots, and there are certainly certain bank ads I could point to over the last 3 or 4 years where you go, golly, you've really ram-packed this with, you know, this type of consumer and another type of consumer, and you've got it, and it's like, yeah. And you can see the intent, okay? I always look at the intent and go, I can see what a brand's trying to do, and I admire the intent. But sometimes you say the execution doesn't always live up to that intent. So my take on it is about authenticity again, around what's the narrative of the story you're trying to tell in your creative? And is the way you've weaved the casting and the production and everything in it authentic, that the people you featured in it are part of that story? I've admired some of the work from some of the grocers over the last year where they they've featured particular families, and you've just gone, this is a story I'm featuring, and you're going to go, that's authentic. It's a family, you know, enjoying a Christmas. Brilliant. Okay, that's great. So I think if you can tell a narrative that's really powerful and really effective, you know, and I look at some of the work that's done well in advertising. There was one about, it was trans, and it was to do with joining a union. I remember particularly strongly it was just a really beautiful story, really well told, and therefore it was just genuine and real. And I think a lot of it is back to the craft of advertising, isn't it? Around, yeah, we're here, I think genuinely here as storytellers. I think where we fail is when you sort of ram a load of stuff in and you sort of lose the plot of the story. I think get the story right, get the theme of this is what we're trying to say, and it should be built with DE&I at its heart. And then you can end up with something, I think, really wonderful, authentic. The other bit to answer your question is, it doesn't half help if you involve the communities you're trying to represent. Yeah, that's a really obvious point, but in a previous business that will remain nameless, I got a creative idea presented, which was about a gay couple. And it was really clear that it was written, you know, from a heterosexual point of view. It's like, this is how I imagine a gay couple's like. I just kicked it out, you know, and having run it past a couple of people. And I think this bit around, actually, we've just got to make sure that we are not just reflecting the right way, but listening and leaning in and talking to. You know, if we want to represent, you know, a certain community or a certain group of people, then it's really important we're talking to and represent it. Therefore, like the people you've got on the creative, other people writing the work, you know, did they identify as this community, or are they connected to, have they got people around them? Who are we working with? And then you come down to director, production team. So it's only going to be authentic if it's a lived experience that people know, isn't it? And I think, again, I'm sorry, I think all these bits sound really obvious, but sometimes they're not. And sometimes, you know, my lived experience isn't yours. You know, if I'm telling a story, it's through the lens of the life I've lived. This is why the work we're doing in Boots, particularly on the mentoring side, has been so good to go, so good hearing someone else's life story, because it's not mine. My lived experience is not theirs. I'm learning so much from other people, and therefore the work we're doing has to reflect other people's lived experiences. So yeah, back to the word I know you like, authenticity is so crucial here.
You know, it sounds incredibly obvious to involve the community, but you know, for example, through advertising, we're always talking about involving the LGBTQ+ community in the whole journey, and have, you know, the community represented in the people who are really making the work. But, you know, it's so often when the work's gone off the rails, when we dig a little bit deeper, they've made that error. They haven't involved the community. Can I ask you, can you share any advice for people in similar roles to yourself or within the leadership team within an organization, how to foster an open and communicative environment for employees?
Yeah, I think the starting point is to know that you are an agent for change. And I think often what can happen in jobs is you end up in a job where you sort of, what I call is, you live in the boundaries of your job description. You go, I'm here to deliver great marketing. And actually, my view is you need to look beyond the walls of your job description and go, right, I'm here to change things. I'm here to be a positive, to be a force for good within a business. So part of that, I think, is you cannot avoid facing into, are we doing enough on diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, in terms of the people in our business, the products we sell, how we show up and how we communicate it. I think there's like those are just must-dos, you know. So, and I don't think you can be fully effective in your role if you're not asking or answering some of those questions. So the starting point is to challenge yourself, and are we doing enough? And is this the core of what we do, or is it a side project? You know, because it's very different, isn't it, when you go, this is central to what we do. So when we're planning everything we do, we want to make sure that the people we work with, everything we do has its front and center, versus, you know, you develop the work and then at the last minute you go, right, we're just coming to the casting now. This back to your point, do we want to have one of these and one of those and one of those? And you go, that's when it's all gone wrong. So is it front and center? And if it isn't, make it front and center. And that's why I'm the exec sponsor of something called Marketing for Change in not just Boots, but Walgreens, Boots Alliance across the top of that. We set up deliberately to say it is marketing to help change what we do as a business. It is marketing to be aware across what we do in WPP, but this is just what we do now. This is the way we do it. This isn't an afterthought or off the side of our desk thing. This is the core of everything we're doing. So start with getting the basics right. Start with viewing yourself and your team as positive agents for change. Get great agency partners around you and working with you. But also, I think importantly, then it's have that program for change, have some really tangible actions of the things you're going to go after. Even basic things, and I know this has been done a lot before, but think of having a cultural calendar, what the moments through the year when you need to show up as a brand and you've got something powerful to say, or you can create something powerful to say that is authentic. You know, that's not a bad place to start, rather than, you know, week before Black History Month, running around frantically going, are we doing anything? Yeah, and I hear too many businesses doing that, going, God, we must do something for Black History Month. You know, no one's planned it. And then it's again, if it's part of the core of your day job, then people have got the space and time to think about it. So again, where I've seen this stuff work less well is if it's off the side of people's desk, where you and that's the Black History Month example of people are really, really busy running around doing stuff. And at the last minute, people go, what are we doing for Pride? Oh, golly, let's run around and do some stuff at the last, never good. So be thoughtful, have a strategy, have an approach, make it central to what you do, plan it out, and create a position where marketing can really own and champion this within the business, working with whether it's HR team or the equivalent of what I've got with business resource groups, or you may call inclusion networks, whatever that the business calls that. Or if you haven't got those, what could you do to set them up? And then back to the partnership bit is work with amazing agencies, work with agencies that will challenge you, provoke you, push you forwards, ask you the right questions, whether they're your core agencies or specialist agencies. There are plenty of people around who can be really helpful, but also really challenging and push you as a brand and business. So surround yourselves with people like that, who will, for the greater good, help move your brand forwards and make sure you have diversity, equity, inclusion totally front and center.
And this is a topic that it feels like it's of really great importance to you. You're doing a lot in terms of mentoring for the Marketing Academy. You're an amazing judge for the Advertising Awards. Why is diversity and inclusion such an important of such importance to yourself?
I guess through my career, I love people and I love talking to people. And I've met such an amazing group of people in my life that I feel so lucky to have met. But I just look back at particularly some of the early points in my career where, I worked with people that were gay and didn't feel able to say they were. I worked with someone who was trans that I felt was not treated brilliantly right at the early start of my career. And I look back at moments like that and it's frustrating. And there's this bit for me around, I genuinely believe we're all put on this planet to make a difference. We are, you either tread water or you move things forwards. And I think I got to a point quite a few years ago of going, look, I could be a force for good, actually. I feel so lucky to have met amazing people. I feel so lucky to have been given any of the jobs I've been given. I feel genuinely lucky and privileged to get. And I look at it and go, right, I've been given a platform, a given opportunity. I've got to use this for good. I've got to use it to help create an environment for the better. And then when you start to do things and you start to see the impact of it and you go, this is good, this is great. And people come with you and then others start to do what you're doing or even better things than you do, it's amazing. It's like a positive catalyst. So it started very much a position of me realizing that people weren't as accepted as they should be, weren't able to be themselves, and that was wrong. And also just this realization that I could then, I hope, make a difference. And then seeing how some of that plays through. I remember one of the pivotal moments for me was when I was working for Aviva, which was about 4 years ago. I worked with an amazing lady called Jan Gooding, who herself identifies as a member of the LGBT community. She's very involved with Stonewall. And she said, well, would you be the exec sponsor for the LGBT network? And I said, well, happy to look, I identify as straight, is that okay? And actually, her words stayed with me around, actually, that's a really powerful signal that, in terms of how you identify, that you're saying, I'm going to be an ally, I'm going to be a sponsor, and I put this front and center. And by getting involved in things like Rainbow Laces and some other stuff, I said, okay, we're doing some really good stuff here. This is really making a difference. And actually I can make a real difference. But also importantly, I'm learning so much by working more with my LGBT colleagues, working more with Stonewall, with Rainbow Laces. I remember an amazing dinner with members of the trans community and just going, I'm just learning so much here around people's lived experiences. So that was a pivotal moment. And then going to TSB, taking on a similar role now, similar in Boots, it's been great. I've just loved doing it. And it's back to, I think, Steve, that authenticity word again. My worry when I took on the role at Aviva was thinking, well, can I do this authentically if I don't identify as part of that community? The answer is I can, because if I go in and go, look, I really want to make a difference to support this community, and I want to listen, I want to learn a different, it's really powerful. I remember, again, the business will remain nameless. I remember a senior figure in one business I worked in saying to me over a Christmas dinner a few years back now, saying, oh, I don't get this whole trans thing. And I remember just having a really good conversation around, well, actually, maybe you can do something about that. You know, I just think the days of going, I don't get it, you just can't do that now. You've got to go, actually, if I don't understand something and it's not my lived experience, then I need to go and talk to someone. And I need to go and learn through someone's lived experience. I need to do that because the leader, you know, not only, you know, as a leader, because that's your customer base, but also importantly is there are people in your business who could identify with that lived experience. And if you don't get it, then I think it's just not a good enough reason anymore. So I think genuinely you make a difference. We have to learn through people's lived experience. We have to make things better. We have to reflect the communities we serve. And I think with working some advertising, I mentioned storytelling earlier on, you know, what stories are we telling? What are we doing that helps to shape and create the society, the world that's better? You know, and I think creative can be powerful. We see it in films, don't we? We see it in the amazing one. I mean, Russell T. Davis's It's a Sin this year. What a powerful, you know, that shifting the narrative on. Yeah, great example. You know, on a smaller scale, as advertising is a smaller scale than that, but it's still really important. What's the world we're showing? What's the society? What's the family makeup? What are we showing? And therefore, how does our work reflect how we want the things to be better? So I think there's a really important role, hopefully, in all of us as marketers going, you know what, we can be really powerful change makers for the better.
That's really powerful, Pete. It feels like when you're so close to it, when you're actually a part of the community, but then when people in leadership roles are talking about so eloquently and passionately, it's so powerful to hear, you know, thank you. I've got one final question for you, Pete. It's something that I'm asking all of our guests on Proud to Be. I'd like to ask you what diversity means to you personally.
For me, diversity is about freedom of expression and about accepting that we're all absolutely amazing and special and unique, and that's something to be celebrated. You know, I think too many people that don't feel able to be themselves. And I think there's something powerful someone said to me years ago about, if you don't love yourself, it's very hard to love other people. And it's quite a powerful statement, isn't it, around accepting yourself and going, I'm all right. And actually, I'm loved and I'm special for who I am. And I think for me, diversity is about that amazingness of wow, you know, I'm like no other person. And see, you're like no other person. And isn't that awesome? And I think celebrating and accepting that and going, that's really good, is brilliant. And I look at it like in a business context is, you know, it's funny, I was hiring for a role, this was several years ago in another business, and there's a few people there who were, you know, you kind of interview people and you go, God, you're just like me. And actually what's really interesting is when you interview people that are not like you and you bring them not like you, you kind of go, actually, how brilliant it is. I love my leadership team at the moment because we're all so different, but it's just so brilliant when we get together because people say things and express things and have a view on things that are totally different to me. Isn't that brilliant? Because as a leader, you don't have all the answers. Yeah, and if you ever get to a point where you become like a doctor in a room and people bring in their symptoms and you have to fix it, well, that's not what leadership is about. Letting people be amazing, creating the space for them to be amazing. And actually, a lot of that is letting people be themselves. So diversity allows you to do that, which is why it's such an important theme. I think this bit around, we talk a lot, don't we, about mental health. So much for me around mental health is about self-acceptance and being free to be yourself, which is why this is so important for all of us. You know, and I think, yeah, hopefully the message people can take away from this is Every single person can make a difference. Every single person, even in little ways. The way we live our lives, the way we treat each other, the way we listen to each other, where we identify with people's lived experiences, every single one of us can make a difference.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been brilliant talking to you today, Pete. It's
been great talking to you today. Your questions have been great. It's been a really good chat, so thank you.
And thank you for listening today. We've had such a wonderful response to our Proud to Be podcast series. Please do leave us a comment below and a rating. I'll be back for another episode of Proud to Be very shortly, but please don't forget to hit that subscribe button. See you next time.